بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وذروا ظاهر الإثم وباطنه. Leave out wrong sins, both open and discreet. It is a human tendency that open sins we do shun. Zina, fornication, theft, wine. So those gunas that are open, we leave out. Perhaps for multiple reasons. One is we take them to be more serious. And two, perhaps those sins that are open, if we get involved in them, then it brings embarrassment. Someone is womanizing, is whining. So this brings some level of embarrassment. So we leave them out. But then there are those sins that are discreet, subtle, discreet, not very clearly visible. So these sins that are subtle and discreet, they are also supposed to be abstained from. Generally, people don't take that level of care, caution in exercising their resistance in this level, that which is discreet, that which is not clearly visible. So one such sin is zan. Now zan has got a very broad meaning. The Arabic, the literal translation will just be a thought or an opinion, right? Mera zan, mera guman, my thought, my opinion, my feeling. But it's got a very broad meaning. Some levels it will be compulsory to practice upon, some levels of zan. Like for example, the Quran Sharif says, الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ. So, you will not translate it that they just have an idea about Qiyamah. They are certain about Qiyamah. So one level of zan will be certainty. Right? So, at some levels, this zan will be compulsory, like I showed you, يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ. So this level, that zan would be compulsory. Similarly, there is a hadith which says, لَا يَمُوتَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَّا وَهُوَ يُحْسِنُ الظَّنَّ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. That you must die having a good opinion of Allah Ta'ala. A Muslim mustn't feel Allah is always after me, is pushing me into calamities, he'll punish me, he doesn't like me, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. Some people become negative, and most of the times that they become negative is that they are self-opinionated, or there is not the right person to give the guidance at that time. See, one pious person appear sort of, so the thought overwhelmed him that he became shaitan. Right. In his piety and in him perhaps looking at himself, he sees he's so worthless, he doesn't see him to be any good. And then he allowed the thought to have the bit over him until it reached to the point that he felt that he is shaitan. See the thought now. But now his problem was that he didn't seek the right guidance. He allowed it to continue until that became overwhelming. So he saw that in that masjid that he frequents, he is a senior mulana, senior alim, teaching big kitabs, etc. So he felt perhaps the better thing is to go and refer to him. This is what I think of myself, that I am shaitan. So he went and referred to him that I am shaitan. I feel that I am shaitan. So this mulana replied, well then if it is shaitan, then la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, na'uzu billah. So he says, now I've confirmed it that I am shaitan because I feel like this, and the senior alim also feels the same, that I am shaitan. Now, in life, there are different dimensions and different perspectives. So understand the perspective, then you know how to go about. There are sometimes some ulama that are more compatible with issues that are apparent. And there are those who will understand these type of discrete issues. They'll understand, alright. Psychological problem, this person, what he's going through. So let's package it accordingly, because he's not a normal person, he's abnormal. When he's abnormal, then he's going through some type of a mental state. When he's going through a mental state, then try and package it accordingly. Now you got questions coming up like that. One woman, she phones up now and then. She used to phone up. So, she feels normal that she's a Hindu, and sometimes she feels normal that Hindu goddesses are before her, and she's opening the Quran Sharif, she's only seeing these type of things. So sometimes a person goes through a mental state. And this type of mental state, then the wrong thing in this is that when you're finding yourself in this, then don't remain in isolation. Straight away, don't go, get out of isolation. Then go and mix up with people. Because now if you're going to be isolated, you will allow the thought to manifest itself. It strengthen, and then you can't handle it. So the right thing is then go out, seek advice, and perhaps by someone that understands these type of issues. So you'll get some learned, righteous people that understand these issues, and some that don't understand these issues. So if you're going to go to any person thinking he's righteous, he's learned, and he'll be able to give me counsel, you may be wrong. So someone that understands this type of issues, he knows how to handle, he knows how to relate to this issue. When you refer to him, that this is my issue, and I need some counsel, I need some guidance in this. You get some people now, men, women, they will always feel themselves that some green came out. Some war came out, some air came out, some urine came out. So that thought haunts them. So they think in themselves that they are very pious because they are considerate about the tiny drops that come out or the air that comes out. But they don't realize gradually they're becoming a victim of shaitan. Shaitan is playing with them. He's making them imagine that some drop had come out, whereas no drops came out. After urinating, then you make istibra, there'll be some urine that is left in the urinary passage. So you will do something to remove that. And people use their discretion to remove that. Someone will get up, sit, make a squat couple of times, stand up and squat. So whatever is left, whatever residue is left, will come out. Others, what they will do is use sand cloths. Up to now in some places in India, they use sand cloths. When we are studying, it's normal. They'll have one container in the toilet and they'll have some sand cloths. So you use that, you clean yourself and you place it into that used tin, right? Tin the way that used cloths are. Some people nowadays what they do is they don't do that. They will use some toilet paper, tie it around that area and wait for some time, 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, whatever the case may be, until all the dripping and dropping is all subsided, then they will shut off the wuzu. So whichever way, after that, you don't worry about all these thoughts here. Then, if you have that feeling or that sickness of doubts, then the hadith says it simply that you splash some water in that area. The urine area means around the private area, the clothing on that area. So if any thoughts do occur thereafter, then you can refer it to the splashes that you had placed around, so it will expel those. So a lot of times you have this type of problems. Now nowadays you get even more problems with women. And, spotting. That's the word that they use, spotting. So I don't know, this type of sicknesses now women have, they wouldn't have before. 10 days, sometimes 30 days, 35, 40 days, continuous, sometimes up to 70 days. One day, one week is spotting and what's happening. So I suppose the type of food or the lifestyle or the type of medication they are taking is causing an effect, you know, it's having an adverse effect. So they need to see the food, either see the lifestyle or the medication. Right? All these things they must check up, because all can have an effect. So sometimes it's a mental problem, sometimes it's a medical problem, sometimes it is the lifestyle problem, sometimes it's the type of food that you are eating, that's the problem. So you need to bring some correction in all that. Many a times the problem that we go through is either lifestyle or the eating habits. Eating habits are not right. We think that the eating habits are right, but we are not eating correctly. And when you're not eating correctly, then you're getting these complications. Right? Like, my habit is not to see how the next person is eating, right? But now sometimes Ramzan time, and there's quite a few people sitting around you. So if you just look at the corner of the eyes, you can see the next person. Now I see that the youngsters, their eating style is not right. They may be eating respectfully, orderly, respectfully, but the food combination is not right. Now I see someone will put a little bit of tarkari or whatever savouries, but with nearly every second morsel, there is some tomato sauce. Loaded with tomato ketchup and eating. But now this is all made up food. It's processed food, it's not food. You want to hurt yourself. Not straight away, then later on. Now the mothers are seeing this, the fathers are seeing it, but they're not saying anything. They won't realize that eventually the child is going to have some problems. Either digestion problems, either breathing problems. He'll have some problem or the other. Because all these things have got some type of chemicals, right? Tartrazine or something. He's got. Is not meant for human consumption, straight. Like eating chips and all that, right? That becomes a meal. Now and then you're traveling, now there's no food, so you took some bread and some chips and all that, and you ate, you know, with the Simba or with whatever chips you ate. That's a different thing. But you make it like a regular thing, chips, and you're causing problems for yourself. It's not a human diet. Right? Sometimes the food is just more savories, right? Savories. And then you hear that person has got problems, he's got complications, right? He can't pass out. Complications. Stomach is jammed up, right? But now, that person is not supposed to be eating any savory for that matter. They said, oh, I got this problem, man. Tell me what problem, man. Arrhythmia. Hey, the stomach is problem, man. But you're not supposed to be eating these type of things. Samosas, you can't resist. Then you'll eat it. Then you've got problems. But in the first place, why must you start it off? You can't digest it. Your stomach is too weak. You can't digest it. Then why must start it off? And such a person must eat more greens. He must eat very little, less carbs. He must eat more greens. And mustn't touch savouries at all. When your stomach is getting jammed up now, then don't eat that at all. Well, not just a little bit. Just a little bit, it'll be a big 5-10 pieces. That will be your little bit. And you know that you can't digest. Your digestion is not right. You're not supposed to be eating it. But now that it comes, now you can't resist. Now you've got problems. Then you'll have to be into some jinnah, some jadu, whatever else. But the jinnah that is in you, what about the old jinnah, the temptation in you? You can't resist that temptation. You're causing a problem, right? Right. So correct that, rectify that. You'll find a lot of ease, lot of enjoyment in your roza, in your namaz. But you're not going to correct that. You've got a problem in your roza, in your namaz, in your sleeping, in your lifestyle. It's going to be problems all the way. Then someone has to take the brunt. So either the jinnah takes the brunt or the jadu takes the brunt. The buck has to stop at some point. So it stops at the jinnat or the jadu. Then you go for ilaj. So just correct the eating style. So such people, like I say, they mustn't eat oily stuff. They mustn't eat savouries. They must eat very, very little of carbs. That's a simple procedure. Now, they will do it 1-2 times, came out right, they got a problem and said, no, it's not happening. The jinnat got me again. Jadu got me again. by just correct your temptation, don't eat this type of food, don't start a problem. Whatever, continuous problem. So I see this when I'm traveling, I see all these things happening. I can see this person causing a problem for himself. No, why is he eating? You can't correct the person because it's not a session to give a diet plan here. It's to enjoy eating, enjoy the free and all that, right? Now you will give a bayan that side, it's not going to be the right forum to give a bayan. But what the person is doing is not right, not eating rightly. He's going to have a problem, he will have a problem, others will have a problem, everybody will have a problem. From here, the gas will come up, he'll have a headache. Right? So headache is, he can't contain it. Why? Way it started from the stomach, the gas rose up, came up his brain, see how it goes on. So that person is supposed to be correct himself with that. So you can't eat these type of things. And you can't eat too much of dairy products as well. Until your stomach is all sorted out, you can't do all these things. Right? So we were talking about Buzrugi and we went on to a diet plan. Right? My mind is moving. And I'm thinking that in the safar now, what I see, you see? Some boys are sitting around me and how they're eating. Now, at that time, I can't correct them. I know it's not the right thing to correct, but it's not right for them to eat like that. But then they'll cause a problem for them. And I know that they'll cause a problem. Because I was maybe about 19, 20, or a little bit elder, when I went to India first, right? So, hot day now, Ramadan just ended about 1 or 2 weeks after Ramadan. So, traveling by train. So, on the side I'm seeing something, they're selling something, you know. And hot day, so there's some chana and some lemon, and you know, how nice you feel. Hot all the thing is just being roasted, and with the lemon and all of the spices. So I offered to buy. Not realizing there was a Hakim Sahib next to me. Hakim Abdul Quddus, Rahmatullah Ali, Sheikh Khalifa, right? So I offered to buy this thing here. So he's telling me, "Na kharido isko, don't buy this thing here. You'll have a problem, and phir mere paas tum aaoge." He's already giving me in advance, "You'll have a problem, and you'll..." But I couldn't resist, and I bought that thing. And generally, like he said, I had a problem running stomach for a couple of good days. So you understand your stomach now, you know, what you can take, what you can't take. Sometimes you get a constipation, sometimes it is diarrhea. But now you just keep studying your stomach now, what's agreeable, what's not agreeable, how much must take, in what proportion I must take. And the worst after that is you drink tea. Milk tea for the stomach is about the worst thing. Ask me, I'll tell you. Milk tea is about the worst thing for a bad stomach. Bad tummy, and you got drinking milk tea is about the worst thing. It's not going to give you a consistent style. You need to take plain green tea. After, if you have, you know, craving for tea, plain, or take a fudina water that Hakim Yusuf, Molvi's, some diets, you know, he's got fudina and lawang and whatever concoction he's got. That is about the best thing. And milk tea is about the worst thing for a person who's got a history of stomach problems. He must never drink milk tea. I've seen it through and through, how it upsets your whole routine. For the moment, you'll feel very nice. You know, in the morning, when I read my fajr namaz on the top, and I'm entering the madrasa, the smell of the tea is so tempting. It's so tempting. It's breathing at that time. It's brewing up at that time. You know, I think it's so tempting. And I don't know how you feel. But what damage it does afterwards, that Allah proclaims. So you have to resist. Understand your stomach. And if you don't understand, if you're going to eat that, you'll become old before your time. All your organs start failing. That you need to have 10 khadims to be with you all the time. You can't work yourself. You can't function yourself. See, the stomach is now the root. So get the root right. So for the stomach, there's two things. One is diet, and one is certain exercises that you will correct the stomach. If you've got a problem, how you correct it. So there are some exercises that you correct that. They call it the core, right? And how you correct the core. So you need to do all these things now. These things are your money, just enjoy, eat, pray, and whatever else, you know. how nice it looks, you know, you've got a burger and a Coke and you're sipping and you're eating, how nice it looks. But it's all for the looks. It's not good for your stomach, let me tell you. And then this thing will have an effect on your namaz, on your concentration, on your ibadat, on your functioning, everything. You will have moods, everything. You start getting angry, losing it, can't sleep. So all this will have a ripple effect. So now, you don't want that ripple effect, then correct yourself. Try to correct yourself. So I started this off where I saw a boy sitting next to me. Every lukma is taking tomato sauce. Hey, what's wrong with this minister? What's going to happen to him? He'll generally have, I know he'll generally have problems afterwards. You're not supposed to be eating this type of things. So you're talking about that buzrug now. Talking of zan, you know, zan. And what zan can mean. So one level of zan may be compulsive, like I showed you, right? So this buzrug, you know, is a pious person. That thought is overwhelming that I became shaitan. So he told his khadim, you know what, I am shaitan. So he went to that mulana in the masjid, and said, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, na'uzu billah. So he said, I confirmed it now, that I am shaitan. When I am shaitan, then the earth must be purified of my existence. Earth must be. Shaitan, I am shaitan now. I'm just going to cause problems. I'm just going to cause corruption, problems and all that. So rather the earth becomes pure from my existence. So he told his khadim that was very, very obedient, obliging, cooperating, very, very cooperating. So you see, this is my dagger, and I'm going to make zabah, right? So in the process, maybe something is left, you must complete it. Right. So now he shouted, said, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and he slaughtered himself. So something was left, so the khadim just finished it up, cleared it up. You know, qurbani, if the father can't complete it, or the son can't complete it, the father comes in, and he completes the thing. Now there was a big court case. They were blaming the khadim that you did this. So the khadim said, see, this is what happened. Exactly this is what happened. And this was the mulana that we referred to, and this is the answer he gave. And this is how it happened. So anyway, Allah helped so that khadim didn't get involved. But this case had come to was Muhammad Yaqub Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, the founder of Darul Diyanat. It happened around this his time, around 150 years ago. So he says, had I been in that place, then I wouldn't have given this answer. Well, then what answer would you have given? See, because this was a mental state he was going through, and he needed some type of a mental therapy. See, he didn't need a physical therapy, he needed a mental therapy. So you need to understand the person's state of mind before you administer the therapy. He didn't understand the person's state of mind, and he just said, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, na'uzu billah. That person got convinced, now I am like this. So when I said, I would have given this answer, Shaitan ho to kitso kya? Shaitan bhi to usi ka tha. If Shaitan, what's a big deal about it? Shaitan is also his. He also belongs to the beloved. So this would have just relaxed him. Then after that we have corrected him. Someone asked, Usi ka tha, yes, Shaitan belongs to Allah Ta'ala. But the relation that he has is a relationship of enmity, right? Like the number two that is in your system, right? It's part of you. But is it a relationship of love or you want to reject it? You want to reject it, right? I was only told this much, that it belongs to the beloved, that's all. I wouldn't say the other part of it. When he's relaxed and he's come to his senses, then I will explain the whole thing in context. But now, he needs to go for a mental therapy. And the mental therapy requires that I just ease him up like this. When I'll ease him, he's relaxed, then I'll explain the other side of it. But to give the whole, to administer the whole medication at one shot, may not be the right thing. Okay. So, many of these cases of zan, see, is thought, you know, it's because of you not looking for the right advice. You, whatever your mind is saying, you just go with your mind, and then you complicate issues. Hazrat Rahmatullah gave a story. Zan, I'm thinking of zan. So you got this one word, but it's a kulli mushakki. Variant levels, that's a variant level. The highest level may be faraz, the lowest level may be haram and kufr. But now there's so many levels in this thought. And how important it is that we rectify ourselves, correct ourselves in the thought procedure. So he gave one story. He says, there was a slave up for sale, good looking, attractive features, strong. So one person went to bargain. So he was cautioned by, see the slave here, uske jee mein to kina bahut zyada hai, wo chugal khor hai. Okay, this slave that you're offering to purchase, he is a chugal khor ko kya kehte bhai? Carrying tails, right? Carrying tails. Idhar ki baat jaakar udhar lagata hai, udhar ki baat ko jaakar ke idhar lagata hai. So bhai, this person carries tails, just be careful of him. So the man saw him, his features look so nice, attractive, strong, sturdy, features are right, body is right. Why mustn't I purchase him? Well, that carrying tails and all that will sort itself. I'll just pass by the person. Time of slavery. So he didn't heed the advice and he purchased the person. Now, you see, you get different classes of people. Some people, they don't feel right until they didn't do some mischief. Some mischief they have made, now they feel nice. Until there's no mischief, no problem that they created, they feel very, 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 very uneasy. Like you see the normal youth today, right? Until he hasn't done any mischief on his phone, he can't sleep. He must do some mischief. So he's prone to mischief. That becomes his adat. If he didn't get himself involved in that, then he can't rest. Until he got himself involved, then he must relieve himself. He must relieve himself of that additional energy. When he's relieved himself after washing all the corruption, then he gets the ease. See? So now, the parents don't realize this. And they know, the parents also know that they went through the same thing. They did it in different ways, but then they just overlook. It's not like his youth now, let me carry on. But then he becomes a problem for someone else's daughter. When he allowed him to do all this, and then you got him married. Now, you didn't realize, youth or not, I just get them married, they're out of my life now. But he became a problem for someone else's daughter, you did not take cognizance of it. You were too selfish. No, my child now is settled, finished, class. My responsibility is over. But have you created a problem for someone else's daughter, for someone else's child? So being so inconsiderate, right? So inconsiderate, only self-centered. This dunya, this is what's become self-centered. My ease and my comfort, nobody must come in. My space, my ease, my comfort, nobody must encroach. And if I encroach someone else's ease and comfort, space, that's all right. But my ease, my comfort, nobody must encroach. See, one of the reasons of corruption is this. That I want to protect and guard all my rights, but other person's rights, whether it's emotional rights, whatever rights, whether it's discharged, not discharged, whether it's fulfilled, not fulfilled, is not a problem. But my rights, nobody must trample on. See, this selfish dunya that we have gone through. Just a few years ago, see, a century or so ago, it was totally different. One alim, he's still studying, right, in the third or fourth year. So, in the midst of his learning, there is a taqaza that this town here needs an alim. Right. So now they can't find anybody. So the ustad that was in charge, he selected one student, said, you go and look after the place. Now the student for the moment found it difficult because I'm already in the third or fourth year and 2 years to complete, and I'm asked now to go and work in that area. So the ustad comforted him, inshallah Allah will take work out of you, make dua for you, and Allah will take work from you. Now when a person reaches about the fourth year, he is very anxious. 2 years. there will be a jalsa, there will be the starbandi, you know, jalsa, the amama will be tied, there will be a crowd, the show, everything that goes with it, you see. But in those days, what used to happen? Students used to be very, very obedient, and very respectable to the elders. Whatever the elders say, let's go with it. And alhamdulillah, in showing that respect, they flourished accordingly. So the elder told him that, you know, this is the place that you need that, although I can see you need about another 2 years to complete, but my suggestion is that you go there. Inshallah, Allah will take work out of you. So his elder told him, although he felt a little bit difficult that I'm about completing, but he said, no, I need to just listen to my elders and let's move with the flow. He went, alhamdulillah, there are hundreds and thousands of ulama that turned out because of him. The work that Allah Pak took out there, and then the good that came out of the whole thing, the good, just listening to the elder, and the good that came out thereafter. See this self-centered thing. So you get this class of people that want to do mischief, interfere, cause problems, right? Break up. And unfortunately, you know, I think at least 80% of people are involved in these things here. With these WhatsApp groups and, you know, WhatsApp groups and all that. So whatever information I got, I'm passing it to you. You passing it to that person. That thing becomes viral. Now whether it's true or not true, Allah Pak knows. Maybe 100%, it may be just fabrication, and there may be a degree of truth in it. But I will move the thing. Some fabricated news. Sometimes the news is there that, you know, so-and-so died. So that news is going around here, everywhere. Now you go to the masjid, you see the chasha there, kind of standing here. Now here you finish being khatam, making isal asab for him. The other chasha is in the masjid there. Verify, confirm, verify, investigate, don't just go with it. It's not a source of information. Not the way how we carry on our lives. See, before all these things came up, our life was going on very peacefully. Now also our life is carrying on, but without the peace. See, minus the peace came out. So this thing was the responsible to destroy the peace. So I have to say this repeatedly now in the Jamaat circles, repeatedly say it. See, whatever the difference is, right, notwithstanding the difference, right? But there is one group that is definitely causing a lot of problem. And that is that group that is entertaining these messages. For or against, entertaining the message. You see, oh, he said this, and how we replied. He answered, and we said this. That's what he's saying. So the group that is involved in this, whether he's receiving or he's giving, are really they off the Jamaat. I don't think they are in the Jamaat. And I think they're the worst. In this whole scandal, they're the worst. Because now they made that their business to see who said what was the response, and that person is like this. So what was your modus operandi? What was your work? Your work was zikr, taleem, gush, right? Tahajjud. That was all your work. Ikram, that was your work. Now you left all your five works you left, and now your primary work is now to see what news came and who's catching it and who's giving it. But the gist of it is who's catching it and who's giving it. Isn't it? He's catching it and he's giving it. Yeah, he's putting him in his place. And this person is catching it. So that became your work. So I ask you, did you get anything out of it? Anything did you get out of it? And you invested your time either in zikr, tilawat, namaz, salatul hajat, making gush, ta'aleem, trying to invite someone. I ask you, would you be happier dying in that state or dying while looking at the panchat? You know, a very good gauge is death. So would you like being involved in zikr, tilawat, namaz, salatul hajat, or gush, ta'aleem, etc., dying in that process or dying in the process of panchat? Giving, like I say, catching or giving. That will give you the answer. Now, if you invest your time in this thing here, there will be something that good will come out. You may dua for that ummah, for that person, for this person. There will be some may dua for Umar radiallahu what a person he became. See how the time was invested. So in imploring Allah Ta'ala, before he died, one person came out after that. Then he turned the whole world around. All the kufari turned them around. You see that? So his time was invested rightly. The product and the result was right. Now if your time is gone into all these things here, this news here, we're listening to it, entertaining it, either our time is wasted, or our spirits are broken down, or we engaged ourselves not in conformity with the ta'leem of our elders. See, the elders gave some hidayah, instruction. We went out of the instruction. So we see now who's giving it and who's catching it. Who's giving it, who's catching it. Now you be, after a period of time, I think I'm doing so much of work, you know. I'm reading all this thing. I know what's happening. Yeah, I know it. So you see that person in the masjid, like, you don't want to see, you don't want to talk to him. You give him a cold shoulder, right? Now minus these things here, you were such a good person. Now you read these things here, and you turn your face around that person. Maybe it's totally, totally unfounded, baseless. There's no basis to it, right? So you want to read everything, and you want to see really in all this, it's your curiosity. Who's catching it? Whether it is the paper, whether it's WhatsApp, whatever, but you want to see who's catching it. So it is not a dini concern. It is not some entertainment that who's catching it and who's giving it. Who's catching it and who's giving it. This person, yeah, he was going too high. Huh? See now, this person, they dropped him to size. Put him to size. See? Now that's the conclusion. So you had some malice in your heart for that person that was coming up. So when you saw him dropping, so now you began to rejoice. Is that the work of a Muslim, to rejoice at the calamity of your brother? Man is catching it now, you're rejoicing. Is that a Muslim's habit? See, when you go off the guidance of the akabir, of the elders, then you will begin to, you will then go off the course. And when you go off the course, then all the things of the kufar will come into you. Everything, to rejoice at the misfortune of your brother. Is that a Muslim's work? Now you see a person going down, you feel happy. Yeah. The person was going too high, so he caught it, put him to size. That is why Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, he advised his son Hammad that I don't advise you to go get into a debate. So the son said, but you get into debates. So Abu Hanifa says, see, our getting into a debate is because of constraints and with a different frame of mind. We're pushed in the corner and we go into a debate, into a discussion with a different frame of mind. The frame of mind that we enter a debate and discussion is that Khuda kare, may Allah make it happen, that some right word comes out of the mouth of that person, the opposition, see, some right word. If some good word, right word is uttered, then we can declare him as a Muslim. So that's the frame of mind that we get into a debate. Some, we can find a plan, some way to prove him to be a Muslim, not to be a Fasiq, right? Some way to prove that he's a mu'min and not a Fasiq. There's 10 possibilities of what happened, but I took one possibility. This is the possibility that I took, and I declared him as a mu'min or as a Muslim, as a mu'min, as a good person. So this is the frame of mind that we get into a discussion. But in this day now, he's showing, now he's towards the end of his life, now what's happened is when you get into a debate, into a discussion, you hear about someone, you're looking for a chance now to label him kafir, fasiq, bidati. So you're looking, you're anxious. Anxious to do what? To label the person. That he's a kafir, he's a fasiq, he's a bidati. You're looking for it. Right? So, what is the condition of the iman of that person who's looking forward? He's looking forward to label as a kafir. You're anxious to see that person being called kafir. What is the iman? There's no iman in that person. He's anxious to see the person being called a fasiq. He's anxious to see that the person is called bidati. That's what his mind is. So people have changed now, totally changed. So Abu Hanifa Rahman says, you don't get into this thing here. Because you don't have that capacity that the previous people had. Previous people had a different capacity, you have a different capacity, you don't compare yourself against these people here. So that's what happens to us. So, you know, why are you doing this? No, no, the mutakaddimin did this, the elders did this. They had a capacity, they knew parameters. You know the parameters, you know the heart, you know the outlook, you know how to go, get into this thing here, and you're talking about it. And you know the parameters, it's a different story altogether, but you don't know this thing here. And you want to then imitate these people, you compare yourself against them. So anyway, we're talking about this youngster, right? And he's got that habit to carry tales. Idhar ki kisse udhar lagana, udhar ki kisse yahan par lagana. So they told him, don't buy this person. But he said, no, mind. Look at the person, so nice he's looking. Go and purchase the person. But see, his heart is corrupt. So when the heart is corrupt, there's going to be corruption that will come out of it. There's going to be mischief that's going to come out of it. There's going to be discord that will come out of it. So we're looking at the present state of the person and taking it from this, that how he looks on the surface. But what he is real, we don't look at it. That is why the Pusugaradin say that in this day, it is not the healthier thing to broaden the circle of friendship. Friends you got now, just service them, look after them, respect them and continue. But you want to broaden the circle of friendship, you don't know who you're taking in. Who you're taking in, who must jump out, who must jump in. You don't know this thing here. And you don't know how to see the friendship. You don't understand this thing here. And you just take on someone. And then afterwards when you encounter problems, say, yeah, they told me, man, don't broaden the circle of your friendship. And I just took this person, now I realize why they told me. But now you're deep into a problem, then you want to come out of it. It's too late. See, this story is going to be quite long, and I only got about 5 minutes left. But anyway, let's shorten the story here. One person, the only successor to this, his father's throne. So, father made a lot of fortune for his child. Like we see everywhere. Father, why he's doing this for his children? For 3 children, 4 children, so let me just make something for them before I leave. So he's the successor to the father's throne. Father died. But now, what happens generally, we make the money, but we don't take the trouble to make the user. So money got 2 sides, money and the user. The user must be friendly. He must know what is money. He must understand. So you made the money and you made the user, now it's gelling. But you made the money, but you didn't make the user. So he's going to destroy. You didn't make him. The same money that you made, you left it for him, but you didn't make him. You didn't make him what he's going to do. He's going to abuse. He's not going to use it correctly. Now, as the father is aged, so he left all that for his child. He's dead and he's gone. So the son comes into the control. And now, when his friends have seen, now, hey, this child has come into control, and he is a very gullible person, well, let's come closer to him. So they came closer, صَدَّقَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِبْلِيسُ ظَنَّهُ, and their thinking about the friend was right. He's gullible. So he's gullible now, see, you know. So the next story is with him, give him an applaud, raise him up and praise him and all that. And they said, no, tomorrow, you know, I'm worried tomorrow. Tomorrow I need to go for that show. I need about 10,000. So I'll take 10,000 go. Yeah, I need to go just train in my car. See me right. No, I'll take this. Take 100,000 go and see that. Now, the father took all that sweat, the time, pains to build that empire, and this person is just destroying it. Going mad, just destroying it. So one of the father's friends reminded him, you know, your father went to a lot of difficulty to build up this empire. Look after this thing, it will serve you, it will serve your child, for generations it will continue. So now, his whole thinking has become pervert. In his perversity, he says, my father was a fool. My father used to give gold and used to get sand and stone. He used to give gold. In exchange of gold, he used to get sand and stone. And me, I give away sand and stone and get gold, right? We know what he's talking about, right? So who is more intelligent? Am I more intelligent? Or is my father more intelligent? So the person that's relating the story to us, he says, I saw the person afterwards. Now, what the father had left, a very big, huge empire, and now I saw this person in a totally dilapidated state. He's got on lungi or something to wear, hardly a proper vest, and he is in the doldrums. From what he was, what the father had left for him, and then what the friends have done to him, see, that really is not a joke at all. So this circle of friends, they can really damage you, really damage you. Now the elders, this is the mistake. They feel, no, our work is only to make the money. And the making the person is not our work. I say, if you make the money, make the person. Half your time in accumulating your wealth, make the money, and half the time invest it in making your child, making him. You see a small mistake, correct it. Do the right thing. Make mashura of some righteous people. How do I take my children? What do I do? Continuously, not when there is a crisis. Now people come in mashura only when there is a crisis. So they went, carried on, came to a jam, now you make mashura. But continuously, now what do I do now? What do I do? How do I? Then as you are ending up your life, then your children are the comfort of your eyes. You know, you see them as the comfort of your eyes. Because you've been making mashura all the time, and you had a plan worked out for them. And a plan worked out for them. Now they're going in a straight line. So as you're ending up your life, alhamdulillah, they're going in a very good, very beautiful way. But if you've got no plan, and you don't know yourself, you feel, my greatest work is to get the money, that's all. And how they plan their lives, how they do their lives, that's their business. Now, as you're ending their life, they're ending their righteousness, they're ending their piety, they're destroying everything. As you're ending now, now, at that moment, do you need bloom? Huh? Or do you need bloom? What do you need at that time? Allah Bhaktofi Nasib Kare.